Come on, Peter.
Praise God. I don't know what to say to that. Praise God.
Amen.
God is good. Praise the Lord. I can just really sense just the presence of God here in our midst. And of course, Jesus promised that where two or three would gather, he'd be there. And this isn't just about a meeting. This is about a gathering before the Lord. Amen. He's walking in our midst this morning by his Spirit. And just as we come around the Word of God this morning, I think it's important that we're just conscious that he is here. And he's here to minister to your need. He's here to speak to you. And we just need to be open and conscious that he would do that this morning. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles, actually, I'll just leave mine behind here. I better grab that. If you could just turn with me to Hebrews, book of Hebrews and chapter 5. Hebrews 5. I'm going to read the last three verses of Hebrews 5 and then the first three verses of Hebrews 6. Hebrews 5. Praise God. The last verses, starting at verse 11, Hebrews 5:11. Let's just pray before we read this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, my God, that you do speak to us individually. You speak to us corporately, and you have something to say. And this morning, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, we will honor your word, that we'll receive your word, Lord, afresh. Lord, that the Spirit of God would illuminate that to our hearts, that it would become relevant, it would become faith in our hearts, oh God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Hebrews 5, verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have had the powers of their discernment trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. And then just moving on down here to Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, let's leave the elementary or basic teachings of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying a foundation again of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hand, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Hallelujah. Praise God for his word this morning. You know, it's interesting. The writer of the Hebrews, and many people think this was Paul speaking to Hebrew Christians, and what he's doing is he's giving them a bit of a shake-up. He's waking them up. Because what has happened is they've lost sight of their purpose. They've lost sight of their call. And in essence, what they've done is they'd received Christ, but they were living a substandard Christian life. They were basically still in kindergarten, still babies. And we see here that he begins to challenge them to grow in their faith. And here we see just an imperative of growth. You see, many times when we get born again, we think, okay, that's our ticket to heaven. And we think that's the final destination. But friends, that's just the beginning. One of the pictures that we see in the scripture that Jesus uses is the picture of being born again. You know, you're familiar with that term, and some people cringe when they hear that term, but it's a Bible term. And what Jesus is saying through that is that we're born once in sin into the kingdom of darkness, but we're born a second time spiritually out of darkness, out of the jurisdiction of darkness, and we're born into his kingdom.
which is a kingdom of love, which is a kingdom of restoration, of forgiveness, and power. Hallelujah. But that picture is of a baby. When something is born, it's like a baby. But how many know that, you know, I've just become a grandfather over this last, I know I've said it, but struggling with that whole concept. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but my daughter, Laura, she has a one-year-old, and my daughter, Danielle, my son, Luke, his wife, has just given birth to little baby Faith. So there I'm a double grandfather. But, you know, that's great while they're, you know, one-year-old or, you know, 8 weeks or whatever. But when they reach the age of 21 and they're still in nappies, still needing to be bottle fed, there's something wrong. And this is what he's saying to these Christians. He's saying, you guys, you're just like spiritual babies. Here you are. You've had all this blessing. You've had all this teaching. You should be teaching others. You should be passing this on to others. You should be discipling others. And you know, Louise was saying this morning that the theme of the conference has been about discipleship. And friends, there is a desperate need in Ireland today to see disciples that make disciples. We need to disciple others. We need to pass it on. The good things you've received, you need to pass on to others. And it's been said that you don't really know something unless you're able to explain it to somebody else, unless you're able to pass it on to somebody else. So this morning, as we've been worshiping and praying, I just felt God really put in my spirit, and I'm saying this prophetically, that God is wanting us to move out of the paradigm of just smallness, of just, this is for me. Church is for me. It's for my feel-good factor. Church is not about making you comfortable. Church is about equipping you so you can reach outside the parameters of this wall. And I just sense in my heart that God is wanting us to move from the paradigm of the small and the limited to the unlimited. And words, two words, three words have come into my spirit this morning. One is multiplication. God wants to multiply his body. And friends, he's going to use you as his agents. Hallelujah. He wants to establish a movement. Hallelujah. In Ireland, we're so caught up in a parish mentality. But there's a movement that God wants to establish through his church. A movement in prayer and a movement of disciples that multiply. Praise his name. And we've heard this weekend, just the word acceleration. Time is short, friends, and there's a need to move ahead. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the imperative to grow. These people were slow to hear, unable to communicate. They should have been teachers. They were uncommitted to growth and unable to discern the good from evil. Praise God. And so here we see that really there's a challenge to these folk. There's a shaking, a waking up. And, you know, there's a challenge to build on a firm foundation. And we see here that the writer, he lists out, he says, you know, therefore, if you want to really grow up, if you really want to mature in Christ, if you really want to be what God has called you to be, and that is someone who reflects the characteristics of Christ. And friends, that's the purpose for a Christian, is to be like Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. That's the goal. It's not so you can just sit in church and be blessed. You will be blessed as you sit in church. But the purpose is that you reflect who Jesus is. And for that to happen, we need to grow in faith. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. We need to grow in service. We need to grow as disciples and followers of Christ. Now this morning, allow the Spirit of God to challenge you. Allow Him to speak to your heart. And allow him to ask you that question. Where do I stand? Where is my level of maturity? Am I still a spiritual baby needing to be fed by others? Or am I able to pass on to others that which has been given to me? Now, only you can answer that this morning. Praise God. And so the writer of the Hebrews, he lays a foundation. He says, you've got to build on a foundation. And I haven't got time this morning to go into all of them, but you know, the first foundation is repentance from dead works. If you imagine these as rungs on the ladder, repentance, turning from sin, having a change of mind, a transformation of the way you look at things. That's what repentance is, turning. Faith in God, trusting Him, believing Him. Hallelujah. And those two ingredients are essential in salvation. And then he goes on, he says, doctrines of baptisms. And you notice it's plural. So there's water baptism and there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to speak on this morning. Highlight that. But water baptism is basically a physical sign, a physical act that demonstrates what's happened inside. And it's a command of the Lord to go and be baptized. Those that believe are baptized, amen, in water. And it represents the death of the old life and the resurrection of the new life. You're having a funeral service for the old life. The old, miserable, dead, disgusting life goes under that water. You say sayonara. And when you rise up, it's hello to a new life, amen. That's what baptism in water is symbolic of. And then we see baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then we'll come back to that resurrection and eternal judgments, which is about what happens when we die. Hallelujah. So what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? We should ask that question first. And I think we need to understand the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible always speaks of the Holy Spirit in terms of the personal pronoun He. He, the Holy Spirit. This isn't Star Trek. It's not the Force. He's not some kind of ethereal mist. He is the third person of the Trinity. He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. He, the Holy Spirit, will come alongside you and comfort you and strengthen you, uphold you. He, the Holy Spirit, will illuminate the Word of God to your heart and to your life. He, the Holy Spirit, will empower you to be what God has called you to be and to do what God has called you to do. You know, you cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. That's why He is so important. You know, some people, well, we just shared at the beginning of the meeting there. We said that where two or three gather, Jesus promises to be in the midst. But you know, this morning, Jesus is not here. That might shock some of you. Jesus isn't here. Jesus today is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession on our behalf. But who is here is the Holy Spirit. From the day of Pentecost to the present day, the Holy Spirit has been outpoured. And when we say that Jesus is in our midst, what we mean is Jesus is represented here by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it's vitally important that we have a relationship and a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of sin and righteousness. He guides us into all truth. He's the one that produces life within us. He's the generator of life. He glorifies Jesus. He sanctifies, He cleans up our lives, and He empowers us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it is so desperately important for us, if we desire to grow in our Christian walk, that we develop a relationship and a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That we know who He is. That we listen to Him. That we're led by Him. That we take Him seriously. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me that, you know, as a person, He speaks. He has a will. Amen. He has feelings. It's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit, to hurt Him, And none of us would ever want to do that. Amen? Praise God. So that's who the Holy Spirit is, the third person of the Trinity. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, again, understanding the word baptism. Word baptism means to be submerged. It means to be plunged under. Baptism has nothing to do with a sprinkling. It's nothing to do with just a splattering. So when we talk about baptism, we're talking about a full immersion. We're talking about a plunging under, a no holds barred, plunging under of the Holy Spirit. I suppose if I was to do give you a bit of an illustration of that, it's like, here's a bottle of water. And you know, that bottle of water is full to the top. But you know, that's got limits upon it. But if I was to take the top of that bottle and then drop the bottle in the sea, that's baptized in the sea. That's what God wants to do with us. He has the Holy Spirit in us, but He wants to plunge us under the sea of His Holy Spirit. Praise God. So there's no limits. Praise His mighty name. Hallelujah. So that's a picture, if you like. It is the second experience after salvation. The second experience. I want to ask a question here. Maybe some of you Bible people know. Maybe just some food for thought. When did the disciples first receive the Holy Spirit? When was it the first time they received the Holy Spirit? Pentecost. Yeah. This is why you have a pastor. Yeah, most people would say Pentecost. But it's not. Do you remember Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21? We'll just turn there just very quickly and read it. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and He said, "Peace be with you." And after this, He showed them His hands and His sides. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord again. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. This was after the crucifixion. This was after the resurrection. But it was before the ascension, before Pentecost. And I'd like to put it to you that this was when the work of the cross was finished, the resurrection was complete, and this is when the disciples were first born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This was when they first received the gift of the Holy Spirit, was before Pentecost. But we're told in Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Let's go back here. It says, while they were staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And in Acts chapter 8, He tells them Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He tells them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, for you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth." So the disciples first received the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, in that room, after His crucifixion and resurrection, but before the day of Pentecost. But He tells them, He says, "Wait for me in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. I have something else for you. I have a second experience for you. I have something I want to give you. Salvation is one thing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is an extension of that. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he tells them to wait in Jerusalem, for they will receive power from on high. They will receive that fire from on high, so that they may be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, friends, again, linking this back to our theme of the Great Commission and making disciples, Jesus didn't want to cause them to stop there just at receiving forgiveness and receiving the salvation. He wanted to prepare them to reach the world. Hallelujah. And so there's a second experience that we receive after salvation, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here, friends, the rub is the purpose of it. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. So we could say Dublin, Ireland, Europe, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the commission. That's the call. That's the call. It's a worldwide vision. It's an unlimited vision. But it begins with us. It begins with you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's a challenge before us to reach our city. There's a challenge to reach our nation. There's a challenge to reach the world. And God uses his church, uses individual disciples, hallelujah, and then corporately he uses them to display his glory, amen? Hallelujah. Praises God. Praise his name. You know, the word witnesses there is, the root word of that is actually the word martyr, okay? In a sense, God calls us to die so that he can live. The call to be witnesses is the call to be sold out ones for Jesus Christ. Amen? And I sense that just not just to be church members, not to just to be pew warmers. That's not the call. The call is, I want you to be my witnesses. Hallelujah. You know, as we're just in the service, I sometimes get these random thoughts. And I was just thinking, you know, some of these films that you see sometimes where it's like, you know, the world has been destroyed, been invaded, and, you know, there's nothing left except a handful of individual survivors. And it's like, for them, their need is to go into, you know, rebuild and refill and subdue. And friends, you know, that's in a sense is what we're called to do. It's like the world has been in chaos. The world has been in heartache and pain. But then God sends hope through Jesus. And he places that hope within us so that we can pass on that hope unto others. Amen? And so that we create a brand new world. Praise his name. Hallelujah. So what are the signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? As I said, you know, power to witness is the purpose. And really, that's the main sign, if you like, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Pentecostal circles, we have often, I suppose, emphasized what is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of tongues. And I'll share a little bit of that in a little while, because that's important. But really, the purpose is what we need to connect with this morning. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not simply that you speak in other tongues. It's not simply that you can say to people, you know, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've got to connect with purpose. And the purpose is that you would be witnesses, that you would glorify Jesus, that people could see Jesus in you. It's the power of God to do what you can't do. Hallelujah. Yes. You look at the disciples. The disciples were not learned men. Fishermen. Terrorists. Some of them. renegades, uneducated, the last people on earth that you would choose. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes from heaven. The gift of God comes from heaven. Tongues of fire come. And these uneducated people that we would not regard as worthy, suddenly they're transformed into men who can do extraordinary things. And friends, all of us are ordinary, but God is extraordinary. And He wants to use and release us to do extraordinary things. We need to move out of that paradigm where we just look to, you know, the few to do the things of the church, when God's called us all to be witnesses, to be believers, to move out in signs and wonders, to advance His kingdom. Praise His name. Hallelujah. There's a transformation coming. There is a move of God coming. There's a shaking coming. Hallelujah. There's a division coming. There is those that are going to be just 30-fold, 60-fold, but God wants the 100-fold. Praise His name. Hallelujah. So the purpose, the signs, is power and service. There's the initial evidence of tongues. Praise God, as the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Bible says they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know, I believe this is an interesting thing that God does. You know, God is I believe He's got a sense of humor. And I believe he often wants to humble us. Amen. And I must admit, you know, when I first got saved, the idea of speaking in tongues seemed strange to me. I'm sure it seems strange to many, many people that to speak in a language that you don't understand, that others don't understand. It seems very odd and very strange. But I believe what God does is He wants to humble our intellect. His ways are higher than ours. And you know, to really speak in tongues, you have to enter in the kingdom like a child. You have to humble yourself. You have to humble your intellect. You have to humble your thoughts, your ideas, your agenda to the agenda of God. Hallelujah. And you know, that is, I believe, one of the initial signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the ability to speak in other tongues. And the reason I believe that is that of the five times the baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Scripture, three of those situations involved speaking in other tongues. And in fact, you know, in Acts chapter 19, when they were looking to see if they'd received the baptism, they verified, they confirmed the fact that it was the baptism because they spoke in tongues. And again, you know, I've been in different meetings where people have said, well, you know, I don't have to speak in other tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, to be honest, I don't want to get into like a theological debate over that. God is God. But what I often sense is that sometimes that's a bit of a cop-out. I remember going to one meeting, and people were coming up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they were saying, well, you know, do you want this with tongues or without? It's like, do you want ketchup or mayonnaise? Do you want salt or do you want pepper on your steak? You know, we don't get to choose. I remember one believer, Lawrence Mulligan, and he thought, well, God, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want that tongues business. I want to prophesy. And he said, God has got a sense of humor. Lawrence is there open and ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And he receives the Holy Spirit, but he receives tongues in a way that he could not doubt that it was God. For two full days, all he could speak was in tongues. He was a farm manager, and he'd go to speak to his employees, and you know, he'd want to tell them something in English, and out would come tongues. He'd be on the telephone, and then he had to put down the telephone and go and hide around a corner. You know, God humbles us, amen? Hallelujah. Praise His name. So initial evidence of tongues is, sorry, initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I believe, is tongues. It's the power for service. It's the power for proclamation. Acts chapter 4 tells there was, they spoke the word boldly. You know, many times, you know, people in their witness are shy. How many here are shy about sharing their faith? Be honest. Okay, there's a few honest ones here. Now, come on. A lot of people are very shy about sharing their faith. And you know, one of the things that will help you in sharing your faith is an impartation of God's fire of His boldness. That's one of the things that I discovered myself as I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that suddenly there was like an extra power, hallelujah, to share. There was a boldness. As a part of my own testimony, before I was a Christian, I used to suffer with panic attacks. And particularly when I had to share in front of people, I would just, the walls would just come in on me. I'd go hot and cold. And I'd just want the ground to swallow up. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, something changed. Fear was broken. Hallelujah. And God set me free. Praise His name. Power in service, power in proclamation, power in prayer. In Romans chapter 8, Paul, the great apostle, one of the few educated ones in those days that were in the church, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he wrote most of the New Testament. And yet in Romans 8, he says, I don't know how to pray. There are times when I don't know what to say. There are situations in life and in circumstances where my education, where my reputation, where my experience doesn't cut it. And he says, in those situations, the Spirit Himself intercedes. The Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings, with utterances. And friends, you know, if we're to really see breakthrough, spiritual warfare, there are some times that your prayers in English or Irish are not going to cut it. Sometimes it'll be the language of the Spirit that will break through and do the damage to the kingdom of darkness. I'll give you an example. I remember one time there was a young man, Frank. And Frank had become a Mormon. And Frank had left some gear at my house. And one day he came and he knocked on the door. And I opened the door, and there he was. And he says, I've come to collect my bag. I said, come on in, Frank. And so Frank came in, and I said, Frank, I know you've become a Mormon. And he said, that's right. He's all cocky about it. And I said, well, you know, what that means is one of us is wrong. Either you're right, and I'm wrong, or I'm right, and you're wrong. I said, there's one way we can settle this. We can pray. We can pray. And most of us would try and argue the point. But what we don't realize is that, you know, there's spiritual implications. There's deception. There's actual spiritual stuff that's going on there. And so as we stood in that room, and I just began to pray in the Spirit. Began to pray in tongues. And I tell you, friends, it would have been a matter of maybe 30 seconds. And Frank dropped to his knees. And he began to sob uncontrollably. And he began to repent before the Lord. And I asked him later, I said, what happened? And he said, the minute you began to pray in tongues, he said, it was like scales dropped off my eyes. And I just knew. And friends, some of you are facing situations. Some of you are even baptized in the Spirit, and some of you who know how to speak in tongues. You're facing circumstances and complications. And you're trying to work it out in your head. And it's not working. Time, friend. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to use the gift that God has given us. We may not fully understand it. God gives us the language of the Spirit. He knows how we should pray. Hallelujah. praise his name. God gives us power in prayer. So what are some of the hindrances to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think one of the first ones is just plain ignorance, not knowing about it. You know, the Bible says, for a lack of knowledge, my people perish. And many times people haven't had time to really look at the scriptures in relation to the baptism. There's ignorance and indifference. You know, just a half-heartedness about it. And I, praise God, I just love the Spirit in this place. You guys, I love your passion. You know, one thing I hate is namby-pamby, lukewarm, half-hearted, limp-wristed Christians. And I think that's the way the world looks at us. You know, for goodness sake, we're men and women of power. Hallelujah. We've got men and women who call to be a witness. Amen. And, you know, I remember again talking to one character, and he was from a background which did not believe in the gift of the Spirit, believed that those things were for a yesteryear. And I said to him, I said, you know, what about the Holy Spirit? And he says, well, I don't think I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't think I need any more of the Holy Spirit than I already have. And I sort of thought, I was so disappointed. So disappointed. So many times people settle for second best. They settle for enough. They settle for mediocre. They settle for it's okay. But the promise of God is life in all its fullness. It's maximum, not minimum. And friends, we need to move out of that minimum mentality and experience all that God has got for us. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Apathy and indifference will kill your spiritual life. And I'm here to shake the indifference, to afflict the comfortable. Hallelujah. And I pray that God is doing that this morning. Praise God. To bless, hallelujah, the afflicted, but to afflict the comfortable. Praise God. So ignorance can be a hindrance. Indifference can be a hindrance to receiving the baptism. Fear. Fear of the unknown. You know, sometimes, you know, fear stops people from receiving the goodness of God. God, what are you going to do with me if I really open up my heart and my life to you? What's going to happen? God has not given you a spirit of fear, friends, but a love and power and soundness of mind. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He does not give you an evil gift. Hallelujah. How much more, Luke 11 tells us, will you receive from the Father the Holy Spirit when you ask? He's the giver of good gifts. Pride can be another factor that stops from fully receiving the Holy Spirit or receiving the goodness of God. We want to be, look, respectable. We don't want to look, you know, at all disrespectful. But, you know, that can be our own downfall. Finally, control is another thing. And I think, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you see people, it's like the white knuckle brigade. And it's like, you know, they want to just hold on and hold on and hold on. And really, you know, to receive the kingdom, there's a need to let go. He who holds on to his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will gain it to eternal life. That word life means our soul. It's our will. It's our emotions. It's our mindsets. It's our issues. If you want to hold on to that, if you want to hold on, if you want to maintain control, guess what? You're going to miss out on the fullness of God. But if you're willing to let go and let God be God, you'll inherit the fullness of his life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the final thing is that would be just, we talked about there yesterday, about overanalyzing, overthinking things. Sometimes, we spend so much time just overthinking, these matters when it's simple. We simply just got to receive, enter the kingdom as a little child. Amen. Praise God. So how do we receive? Just want to finish up here this morning in the time we've got left. Hallelujah. How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I just pray as we were speaking, you're getting yourself ready. Hallelujah. If you haven't got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I pray God begins to whet your appetite for more. For more. If you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, prepare yourself to move into another level. Amen. Hallelujah. How do we receive the baptism? First point is desire. Desire. You need to want the baptism. Hallelujah. You need to want more of God. The Bible says those that are hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst for the things of the world, that's what you're going to be filled with. In Ephesians says, be not drunk with wine where there is an excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and spiritual songs. A couple of weeks ago, God began to challenge my own life. And we're going in our church, we're doing a thing. Really, it's a prayer call to, it's called One Cry. OneCry.com. Get onto it. It's fantastic. Real challenge. And it really just says, we're in a time of spiritual emergency. There's a need. There's no time to namby-pamby and dance through the tulips. There are lives at stake. And there's a need to take things seriously for the kingdom of God. And one of the things is looking at this, God began to challenge me. He began to ask me some questions. The first question is, how desperate are you? How desperate are you for the things of God? They were sharing there just a Kenyan pastor. And the Kenyan pastor had seen, as they began to seek the Lord in his country, they'd seen a lot of devastation, a lot of just poverty, destruction. It's like all that they had built their lives upon was shaken. And he said, that drove them to prayer. And his challenge to those in the West was this, your choice is either desperation or devastation. Sometimes, if we don't seek the face of God, if we don't seek His presence, His power, sometimes, we end up in devastation. And there's been many a Christian that has lost his way and ended up down the path of destruction and, loss, when really the call was to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's choose desperation so that we don't have to have devastation. How desperate are you? How much of the fire do you desire? How much of that fire do you require? For some, they think, I need 50%. 50% will do. Enough will do. Enough to keep me out of trouble. Enough to get me to heaven. How much do you require? Praise God. And the last question God asked me, who decides? Who decides how much of the fire He's going to give you? Is it you or is it God? How much do you desire of the fire of God this morning? How much do you require? Who decides? Is it you? Are you the one with the foot on the brake? Are you the one in control? Are you the one holding on to your life? Or is it God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I shared over the weekend just the difference between a commitment and surrender. You see, we, in the beginning of the year, we normally make New Year's resolutions. And I've made mine and broken them already. You know, when we make a commitment, we're in control. You know, we're the ones in control. It's our determination. It's our willpower. But when we surrender, we don't have control. When we surrender, God's in control. It's God's prerogative. How much, what He does, how much transformation, how much blessing. And friends, it's time, if we really want to advance in the kingdom, we enter the kingdom by surrender. We enter the kingdom by death, and then resurrection comes. Transformation comes. Think about it. I can't remember who I was talking to, but Tony, I think it was. And you know, you can go to therapists, you can go to counselors till you're blue in the face. Real change comes at the point of resolve. It comes when you decide, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to allow you to come in and do what you need to do. Yes! Hallelujah. The power to be witnesses. The power to take the Great Commission with signs and wonders will happen as we desire and we surrender unto God. Hallelujah. Our lives. Secondly, we simply need to ask. Hallelujah, to ask. And so many people struggle with asking God. They think they're not good enough to ask God. I think I was talking to Martin here yesterday, and one of my favorite scriptures is John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, it's just before the Last Supper. And you find Jesus, and He goes and He begins to minister to His disciples. He's been with them for 3.5 years. And He bends down, He takes the towel, and He begins to wash the disciples' feet. Here's the King of heaven who came from His throne. What a King who left His throne, came down to heaven and humbled Himself like a servant. And He began to wash His disciples' feet. And He comes to Peter. And Peter says, no, Lord, I need to wash Your feet. And Jesus turns to him and he rebukes him. He says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. You remember Peter's response? Lord, if that's the case, wash me all over. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I want all that You've got for me, God. I need all that You've got for me. I don't need just a sprinkling. I just don't need a half measure. I need it all. Friends, we need it all. Ireland needs it all. Time that we begin to learn to receive. See, Peter needed to learn to be ministered to as much as to minister, to serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Desire, surrender, ask. And as I said, Luke 11. If we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give unto you the Holy Spirit when we ask? When was the last time you asked God for more of His Holy Spirit? I know there's many of you here that are constantly in that place, and praise God for that. But I know that there are others here that are going through dry patches, wilderness experiences. And you're there by your own choice. And God is saying to you today, ask. Ask of Me. Ask. And I'll give you more of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We desire, we ask, we surrender, we receive by faith. I'm a good God. And then we simply begin to praise. Hallelujah. On that day of Pentecost, suddenly the Holy Spirit fell like tongues of fire. The disciples in one accord were baptized in the Spirit, began to speak another tongue, began to praise God. That was the language of praise, the language of heaven. Hallelujah. And the final thing I'll say to you is we need to speak. Sometimes, you know, people think when they're looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's almost like they stand there passively and they're wanting God to zap them and to, you know, you're not robots, okay? God means us to interact with Him. And you notice there in the scripture it says, and they spoke. They spoke as the Spirit enabled them. They spoke. So when we're going to pray in a minute, and I want us just to, maybe I'll just invite the musician back at this point. We're just going to sing that song we sang just before, The Flame. Praise God. I think that was just really just in keeping with the thought and theme this morning. Let's just stand to our feet. Prepare our hearts. Let me just sing this through just once more. And I want to really just begin to challenge your hearts in terms of your desire, your surrender, preparing your hearts just to receive from God this morning. And then we're just going to spend some time just in prayer. Noel to come and some of the leaders here to help us. But if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning, there is an opportunity here for you to receive the most beautiful gift, the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, to enter, to move out of just an unpowered experience to a superpowered experience in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. To help you to be a witness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
His passion. I don't want to die in my bone. I want to win in burning the fire in inside. Yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, Almighty God, yes, Lord. For your kingdom, God. Yeah.